You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Delighted to be welcoming back onto GB, not GQ. We've talked about Dr. Feelgood, the great Lee Brewer. We've talked about polystyrene, and congratulations on that as well, because that was amazing at all the awards, the films won and everything. It was everywhere. And it was one of the situations where we were sitting back and I suddenly looked over and I realized on my social media that Zoe's got a new book out, and any excuse to bring Zoe Howe back on the show. Delighted to be joining me live on the line from in spooky, mysterious South Sea, South End today. Where are you today, Zoe?
I'm actually in spooky, mysterious Norfolk. Recently moved from South End was spooky and mysterious in itself, but now I've gone all out. Weird Norfolk. It's fabulous. It's lovely to be back on the show, Giles.
Is Norfolk full of sort of strange mists and swirling patterns? And you go out and things start sort of popping up and falling over and mist, you know, manifesting themselves.
Oh, completely. You've obviously been here before, Giles.
The planet in general or just Norfolk?
Well, I would say both probably, but no, that's a very accurate description. It's full of myths and legends and strange stories. There is something a bit odd about it. And I think it's partly because if you go to Norfolk, you're not really on your way anywhere else. You've just got to want to be there. So it's got this kind of rather strange atmosphere, which I absolutely love. And it's full of witchy history as well.
Full of witchy history. Now, the new tome, I think we'll refer to it as the tome, shall we?
I think so, yeah.
The new tome is called Witchful Thinking. Brilliant. We'd like a pun. The Wise Woman's Handbook for Creating a Charmed Life. So tell me a little bit, without turning you into a toad, tell me a little bit about your background in all things of the night. Let me rephrase that. All things witchily, because you do a program, don't you, as well on the Soho Radio, or you used to at least.
Yeah, I still do. Yes, that's still going. Yeah, Rock and Roll Witch, that's called. And that actually was my first sort of toe dipping of sort of coming out of the broom closet.
Toe dipping was that, or toe dipping?
Well, I would say toe dipping, but you know, a bit of toad dipping, as long as it's all kind of entirely ethical and the toad gives consent, it's all good. But very much a kind of something that had been in my life sort of since forever, but in a very quiet way, I suppose. And the show that I do on Soho Radio once a month, that was kind of a precursor to the book in a way. And I wanted to sort of test the water really and see what kind of response I would have. So obviously most people kind of know me for writing music books and music biographies. And you kindly mentioned the polystyrene projects and the film. So that's kind of how most people kind of, you know, if they said, what does Zoe Howe do? It, you know, without wishing to talk about myself in the third person, can't bear that. But it's the music biography thing. But this is more kind of where my heart lies, really, and always has. It's very natural to me. It's how I kind of grew up in that kind of a family that observed a lot of these things. saying that, they wouldn't have used the word witch, because of course the word witch up until very recently has still been very charged. You know, it's had a complex history, that word, and it's often been thrown at women, in a pejorative way. It's needed to be really reframed. And I think that's happening now with the kind of quote unquote baby witches of, social media, who are using it in a wonderful, positive, beautiful way. But you know, when I was growing up, as I say, that's a word that, you know, could lead to alienation, could lead to persecution, or at least, you know, just people saying, oh, you're a bit weird, which I'm quite used to.
Well, hey, welcome to my world, you know.
Yeah, you've got to reframe it as a positive thing, really. And I think that's part of witchful thinking. But so really the book and the point behind the book was that I wanted to bring together a lot of the things that I'd grown up with and things that I'd learned and things that helped me, you know, basically get through the kind of mundane world and make life more magical and make life better. And I thought, well, if there are things that help me, they might, you know, other people might want to know about them as well. So it's tapping into that kind of, generally looking at the kind of, in many cases, the old ways, you know, the old sort of nature religion ways, but adapting them for modern life.
Yeah, because, I mean, there has been, you know, throughout history, there has been, the cunning woman. There's that whole, the matriarchal thing with nature through history. And it's only, and here we go, but it's only sort of organized religion and, you know, the patriarchy smashing it, and women were seen to be dangerous, and, you know, let's not even talk about the black cats. And so yes. In one foul swoop, we lost an awful lot of that arcane, and I use that in a good way, knowledge and a connection with the natural world.
That's so true. And it's so tangled up. Once you start to kind of really look at the history and the sort of stuff that was happening over the centuries, you really start to kind of, you know, see it in terms of, as you say, yeah, the patriarchy keeping down women, and also kind of, it wasn't just women, it was mostly women, but also gay people, also, you know, people who were not conforming to a kind of a regular, what we might call a heteronormative life, you know, not conforming to societal norms. And those people were, and in, you know, they still are in different ways, seen as threatening and to be kept down. And when I, you know, the more research you do into this, you think, wow, you know, wow, we must be powerful for them to be so afraid of us to really go to this kind of trouble to scapegoat and persecute and worse. So it's very, very interesting looking at that side of it. As I say, not all witches, of course, were or are female, but it's something that was, you know, the witch hunts and the witch trials were very much, you know, when you look at it, it was a sort of misogynistic craze, a kind of mania that did so much damage. And a lot of the people who were executed or persecuted weren't actually magical practitioners. They were women who were, and some men, persecuted for all sorts of reasons. It might have been that they, you know, upset the wrong person, or they were kind of independent and they didn't really care about what anyone else thought. They, you know, that would be enough to raise suspicions. There's so many complexities to it. And I actually think a lot of the magical practitioners themselves were quite good at concealing or protecting themselves during these times. That's my kind of feeling on it.
And another thing, I just because you used the word goat in there as a scapegoat, and I just want to get a few things off the bat here. We are not talking, ladies and gentlemen, Zoe is not in league with Satan, because that's the other thing, is it all pentagrams and upside down goats and all sorts of, you know, I'm not going to start playing Aussie or, you know, anything by Slayer or anything. So because again, that is just a way that it's been, if you like, it's been washed. So if you talk about witchcraft, people are, you know, automatically assume that you are in league with, well, I mean, I'm second division evil, so I get Beelzebub, you know, or a subdivision, you know, particularly a demi demon for me, obviously, just my dress sense, basically. But yeah.
But devilishly handsome, maybe. But it, I mean, you know.
You see, you're working your charms already, Zoe.
But it is interesting, you know, and I say, I think a lot of the magical symbols and a lot of the deities that we connect with, old nature religions, paganism. I mean, the word pagan literally just means of the country. That's the etymology of it. And all these things have just been reframed and twisted. And so that our, you know, the conditioning is that the perceptions are that, oh, these things are scary and frightening. And of course, the imagery of the devil, it connects with the symbol of the horned god, which is very sacred to, you know, the pagan pagans of the British Isles. You know, these are old mythological figures that continue to be very inspiring, very positive. And so it's been a reframing and a twisting of perceptions.
I've got a great idea, because you just said the way you said pagans of the British Isles, that could be better than The Real Housewives of Essex, couldn't it? That could be, you know, a reality TV series. Pagans of the British Isles.
I'd
sign up for that on Five Star. So tell me, or point it five pointed star even. So tell me. I told you this was going to be off the cuff. Tell me. So let's look at it then. Let's look at how you go to creating a charmed life. And I'm, you know, in the 21st century world, where we are bombarded with media, social, the whole thing, information, we are, to a huge extent, unless we've fled to the hills in my case, into the Norfolk, into the deepest dark in North in your case. But there is a disconnect, isn't there, between nature and us, and just the way that there is that, if you like, hole in the soul kind of thing that a lot of people are struggling with, especially in a society where you need a filter, you need an app, you want to look like, you know, the current fashion is basically looking from a female point of view, like Danny Leary used to do in the 70s, you know, all big eyelashes and pumped up lists. And, you know, if you've got implants that look like a Right Said Fred tribute act, then you're in trouble. So therefore, what is that? What is the, you know, what give us some little tidbits. And how do you start writing about a charmed life without coming across as though you should be sticking woad in your left ear?
Yeah, well, you know, you do you, as I say, and if that's something you want to do, absolutely, as long as it's nice and, you know, safe and not going to do any harm to your left ear, then...
This is true, yes.
But I think a lot of it is, I mean, there's so many ways of approaching this, and I try to kind of, you know, I tried to sort of create a bit of a toolkit or a compendium with this book, which kind of, you know, draws on lots of different things. And I kind of describe it as a bit of a, like a jewelry box, to take the Danny LaRue connection. You know, you pick what works for you when it feels right at that time, and that feeling may change, you know. So there are different things that will apply to different times, different times of the year even. But I would say a good place to start, and you touched on it yourself, you know, is nature. And I think, you know, connecting back to nature in a very real and sincere way is something that a lot of people have been doing a lot more of since the pandemic. You know, it's a cliche now, but a lot of people have said, you know, I heard birds song for the first time because planes weren't roaring overhead. Or, you know, I realized that while everything else was shut down, well, nature wasn't shut down. I could still go to the forest. I could still travel to a beach. I could still do those things. And I think it's made us value those things an awful lot more. And I think it's made people reconsider their place within it all. And as you say, it has encouraged people to think, hang on, am I happy in this job? Am I happy living in this city? Maybe this is a time to reevaluate things and how I feel most healthy. And so there's that. And I think there's also, again, this kind of connects a bit to sort of the scapegoating and the perceptions of the women, you know, across the centuries being persecuted for quote unquote witchcraft. You know, thinking about, you know, when you're growing up, how people approach you at school, if you're, you know, made to feel a little bit different, but you think, well, I'm just being myself, you know, what's that all about? Think about why that's happening, and actually that it's not something that not something you necessarily have to change within yourself. You might just not have found your like-minded spirits yet, or you might not be in the right job. Things like that, you know, just looking at things in a different way.
Because, you know, as the saying goes, in a world full of Kardashians, you know, be a Stevie Nicks, you know, yes. celebrate the diversity, celebrate the being different. I mean, I was the goth at school. I don't know what happened quite with the shirt, but anyway, I say this point to a lot of people, because we had an anniversary thing for our school, and I was talking to one of the teachers, and I'm now older than most of the teachers at the school, but that's another point. And I was saying that, you know, I wouldn't have liked to grow up as a teenager now, because it was bad enough being a teenager when I was running. It was The Cult and The Cure and you know, playing, I don't know, Smith's albums or Joy Division in my room with a one bar heater. But now, and that was on my own, but now you've got something in your hand, and you turn it on, and then there are all these wonderful, you know, these versions of people that you are supposed to be, living their best lives. And life's not like that.
Absolutely right. And that's that definitely works its way into the book as well. You know, that's so relevant for now. And I too am glad I wasn't a teenager now. And I really feel for kids navigating their way through this. But I think, you know, something happened recently. A very dear friend of mine passed away, and you know, he was a real eccentric. He absolutely did everything his own way. You know, in many, I remember over the years, some people going, "What on earth is he talking about now?" You know, there was a lot of kind of like, "What is he all right?" You know, but those were the things that after he passed away, people celebrated about him, and they loved his weirdness, and they loved the kind of, because he was sincerely himself. And I just thought, he didn't care about being cool. He didn't care about what other people thought. He just was absolutely himself, completely engaged in what he was doing, full of joy for life. And I just thought, how inspiring. And I think sometimes when things like that happen, it reminds you, you know, obviously, as long as we have kind of compassion and empathy, and we're, you know, and love and harmony at the heart of what we're doing, really, it does not matter what other people think of how we look, or how we, you know, how we're expressing ourselves. It's just, you know, it brings things back down to that. And I think there's so much pressure on everyone, not just women, right now, to look a certain way, as you say, to filter ourselves. And then, hang on, where does that leave us if we actually have to meet someone in real life? And so then it leads to a kind of agoraphobia. It's madness. So wishful thinking is sort of trying to kind of get us, you know, coax us away from that a little bit. It doesn't say that we have to completely reject social media. I think social media is wonderful in lots of ways. It gives us so much, but it's all about keeping things in balance. And, you know, this book could, it could just as easily be called Notes to Self, because a lot of these things are things that I need to remind myself of doing. You know, when you get into the sort of mundane life, you do sometimes need to remind yourself of how to stay grounded and slightly kind of healthily detached from these things. But a lot of it is also stuff that my mum had told me over the years. It could just as well be called, you know, As My Mum Told Me.
Yeah, but that's
so much wisdom.
But that's been passed down from, you know, I mean, don't spit and win, that sort of thing. But it's been passed down, hasn't it, from generations? It, you know, from generations. And the reason it's been passed down is because it kind of works. I mean, I'm not saying that we should all but rush off and suddenly start, you know, designing pentagrams on, you know, in the spare room. But, you know, in the book, you're looking at chakras, and I'm keeping a straight face at this point, and also looking at lunar law, and, you know, I mean, you know, the moon, the effect the moon has wherever you are in the world, or maybe it's just my bunch of friends, but I mean, some of them can go completely sort of interestingly. I mean, obviously, as you can tell, I'm half lycanthrope anyway, so therefore, you know, come a full moon, I have to, the next morning, I just keep the lamb bits that I've slaughtered out of the kitchen. But it really does have an effect on your thinking. If you are, especially if you're in the countryside, I came out the other night, a full moon on my terrace, overlooking my lake, and I thought, yeah, there's something going on there, and it wasn't just the cat.
It's so true, though, because I mean, even if you are not kind of, ooh, you know, a little bit hippie or whatever, you can't deny the effects of these things on how we behave and what happens to us, you know, even in terms of kind of, you know, animal behavior. And also, I mean, I remember, you know, my sister was just saying the other day that when she was about to have her daughter, you know, the maternity hospital were like, you know, she came in and then she was like, well, you're going to have to wait a bit because it's a full moon and all the babies are coming. And, you know, it also applies in kind of A&E departments. They're always fuller on a full moon. It sort of amplifies energy, it amplifies our behaviors. It's why you should always maybe kind of watch the tipple a little bit when it's a full moon. It amplifies everything. And whether you're a believer or not, whether you're pagan or whatever, you can't deny it. And I think it also kind of spills into other planetary influences as well. And that's a really interesting study all of itself.
All my female friends say, look at, stay away. It's, you know, Mercury retrograde. And that's like, right, yeah, there we go.
Yeah, it's Mercury retrograde right now.
Oh, is it?
It can play havoc,
right,
with communications and techie stuff. And, you know, if something's going to go a bit funny, it will probably happen during Mercury retrograde. But a way to navigate your way through that, I find, is sort of make friends with it a bit. Because, you know, rather than go, oh, no, Mercury retrograde, everything's going to be complete chaos. As long as you're kind of planning ahead, back everything up on your computer, check those train tickets a couple, like five times, you can use it for lots of positive things. Like, I like to think of it as, you know, anything with a re in front of it is supported by Mercury retrograde. So that could be you know, reviving yourself or restoring, relaxing, revising maybe something, you know, you're about to hand that project in, just revise it a bit more. It's a great time for that. So there are always positive ways around these things.
I'm just thinking rehab, but that's just obviously me, but there you go. The other thing is they're a contributor. It's not just you saying, oh, you know, I high priestess Zoe Howe. It's like the creed to you, my subjects. This is how we go about witching.
Not at all.
But you've got other people involved. And what? Because you know when you get contributors to your rock and roll books, it's like, you know, I'm writing about Dr. Feelgood. I mean, if anybody wrote it, I'd be in like a shot. Yeah, I want to contribute to that. So when you say I'm writing about leading a charmed life, and also, you know, and with witchful thinking, the people go, yeah, okay, but you know, just you know, get easy with the pointy hat. I mean, what did they say to you?
Well, you know, the people I asked to contribute were very much kind of on board with this subject and sort of experts in their own right in different ways. And I think, you know, I also kind of think whenever I can, I mean, suppose it's a different kind of thing to a biography where, you know, it's the Dr. Feelgood books, for example. I mean, no one's probably going to buy it if it's just me talking about it. Maybe apart from you, Giles, because you're lovely. But, you know, you've got to go to the source, whereas this was more, you know, led by my thinking. But I just thought, well, there's going to be other people who can contribute really interesting stuff here. And I also like the idea of, you know, including other voices and being it's a little bit like a kind of little coven in a way. You've got different voices in there. And I like to support other writers. And I think if there's an opportunity to kind of include more people, then I always will. So we've got artists in there, Laura Keeble and Jane Woollett. And then you've got a writer called Linda Yale Schiller, who is another Llewellyn author. She writes about dreams and psychology. And then you've got Madame Pamita, who writes about candle magic. Isn't that fabulous? Madame Pamita.
Oh, hello there. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, she's written lots of books as well. She's fascinating. So there's lots of, I wanted to kind of almost be like a merry band of women kind of bringing forth different ideas. And I just always think it's nicer just to include people. You know, I love that, especially when it's a subject where for me, it was like, I'm kind of coming out here. And it's actually nice to feel like you've got other voices around you. There's a lovely lady called Freya Ingvar, who is a divination expert, and she is particularly an expert in
Okay, here you go. Because, you know, look at me. Baseball cap, Hawaiian shirt, you know, 8 days shaving stubble or whatever. Divination. I mean, that for me is somebody walking around trying to find water. No, am I a complete...
Well, yeah, that's... No, you're absolutely... That is part... technique.
Okay.
That is dowsing. That's a divination technique. So divination is, you know, you are divining meaning, or you're divining the future, or answers could be as simple as a yes or no answer. It could be something more complex. So tarot, reading the tarot or reading the cards, that's a method of divination. Reading the tea leaves, that's a, you know, so there's lots of ways you can do that. My mum has a brilliant, very simple kind of, it's got a real kind of folk magic feel to it, brilliant method of divination, of literally just having a butter knife, and you have a piece of paper saying yes, piece of paper saying no, opposite sides of the table, place the butter knife in the middle, spin it, and it will point, you know, where it will point, you know, is your answer. Very simple. But the thing is, going back to the cunning woman, cunning folk, you know, had cunning men as well.
Yeah.
That's kind of at the heart of the book. I use that as almost an archetype to kind of guide us through in quite a warm and lighthearted way. But one of the things I find very inspiring about those old, you know, the old village wise woman, they would use the things that were around them in the house. They would use the pack of cards. They would use candles, they would use the butter knife, so, you know, those sorts of things. They weren't buying fancy tools from, you know, lovely
witches are us. Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
artisan markets, yes.
Exactly. They'd be using the herbs in the garden. They'd be using their own intuition. They would be, and also those sorts of things, you know, the broomstick. All homes would have those things. So if someone was to come in and maybe wasn't particularly kind of, you know, a good person, that those things would not be suspicious, because every house had those things. It's just how you use them and how you... So I love the kind of connection with the kind of mundane items around us and how actually we can use those as magical tools if we wish.
And as you said, we've been through, and let's use this euphemistically, a period of quiet and reflection. And so after, you know, for the past 18 months or whatever, so I suppose a lot of people did take this chance to, like you said, the skies were clear, there weren't, you know, the birds were singing, there was no traffic around. And so, you know, people are have been using this time to have a reboot. You see what I did there? To have a reboot, and therefore, you know, they are looking at alternatives. I mean, as soon as I mentioned on my morning show, because I do two shows on a Friday, that you were coming on, I got a phone call straight away saying you must. We've got an event coming up on the Costa del Sol. There's a Wiccan, a modern pagan witchcraft event coming on with a talk.
Oh, wow.
By Doreen Valiente. So,
she is the queen of modern witchcraft and the queen of Wicca. Gerald Gardner's, high priestess, and extremely inspiring. I've got lots of her books on my bookshelf. Very interesting. Yeah. I mean, I must say as well, just to draw on something you mentioned before, the pentagram,
yes.
Just to sort of clear up a bit of mythology around that. Actually, the pentagram is itself a very positive, beautiful symbol of protection. It's used in different ways, but essentially it denotes the four elements with spirit at the top. You know, some people write, put a circle around it. That's a sort of protective image. It's very beautiful and positive. Again, it's just been rebranded, as you say, but we're claiming it back again as a protective and beautiful symbol.
So what do you hope then, Zoe, that people take from your book Witchful Thinking and Creating Charmed Lives?
I really hope that it will uplift, and I hope that it will bring inspiration to kind of find what's inside you and tap into that. And because ultimately, I think we cloud ourselves with lots of distractions and things that we think we should do and things that we worry about what other people are thinking. When we go back to our own hearts, I think sometimes the answers are just all there. I know that sounds like a cliche, but a lot of the book is also about creativity, and whatever that means for you, that is a big part of witchful thinking. It's a big part of magic. And whether you claim to, whether you're a magical practitioner or not, those things are in us all. They're natural to us. So, and they are ways of transporting us. And that could just be sitting down and listening to your favorite song, but that is magic. That's a magical act. It's a changing of state. And I think when we take these things more seriously and become more conscious about them, life gets better. We feel a bit more in control, a bit more empowered, and we just, approach things in a different way. So as I say, it's not just for witches or people who want to be witches. It's also for it's just for everybody, because I think magic is our natural state, and I think we just need to connect with it again.
Magic is our natural state. Absolutely brilliant. This book is called Witchful Thinking. It's by the wonderful Zoe Howe, who's speaking to you today. Zoe, if people want to follow you and find out more about how to lead a bit more of a charmed life, where can they find you?
Oh, well, thank you. They can find me on Twitter. I am at Lady Two Dots, number two, and Facebook, Zoe Howe Books, etc. And also on Instagram as well, Zoe Two Dots _ Howe. And I've got a website, zoehowe.com. So you can find me in all sorts
everywhere.
Of places.
And also,
or you can just summon me. Summon me. That's on a full moon.
In a full moon. And just as an aside, I am Godfather. I am spiritual moral guardian to my goddaughter Ziggy, who is a modern circus and burlesque artist. And I spoke to her on truly a Tuesday, I think it was Wednesday. And she said, Godfather. I said, yes, Ziglet, because I called her Ziglet. She said, I'm doing a new course. And she's done songwriting, she's done drama and the whole thing. She goes, I'm doing a course in becoming a witch. And I was like, as your spiritual and moral guardian, I couldn't be happier. So there you go.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. Oh, that's fabulous. Oh, well, Ziglet, blessed be. And good luck with your studies. And I just think that sounds beautiful.
This book is called Witchful Thinking. It's by Zoe Howe. Zoe, go and write another book so I can get you back on the show and we can chat even more. Zoe Howe, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you today.
Thank you, Giles. Lovely to talk to you.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.